Welcome to this week's edition of Holy Apostles' Weekly Sermons.
Torment us before the time. And there was a good way off from them a herd of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, Go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine. And behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea, and perished in the waters. And they that kept them fled, and went their ways into the city, and told everything, and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coasts. And he entered into a ship, and passed over, and came into his own city.
Glory to thee, O Lord. Glory to thee.
The Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you would please come further into the church, there's plenty of room up here, and we need to leave the door clear for people that need to come and go during the service. This passage, which we read today from St. Matthew's Gospel, recounts how Jesus, the Son of God, encountered these two men which were possessed by demons. And this event is actually recounted in all three of the synoptic Gospels, in Matthew, and Mark, and in Luke. So obviously it's fairly important because it made an impression on all of the apostles to such a degree that they all saw fit to record it. And the event is fairly simple. There are these men who are possessed by devils, and they had been brought to a status which we could call inhuman. That is, they had been thoroughly dehumanized by the demons which possessed them, which is the end goal of the demonic powers, to destroy men. And in fact, they were living out of the way, among the tombs, away from human civilization. So we're left with the assumption, according to Archbishop Dimitri, that Christ went out to them. Because they were living far away from human society. No one would go close to them. People were afraid of them. They had shown already superhuman strength. They had broken the chains that they bound them with to keep them from hurting themselves and others. And they ran off into the wilderness and everybody said, fine, leave them out there. So Jesus goes out to them. And when he goes out there, something peculiar happens. The demons recognize him for who he is. Among men, there could be confusion, right? Even his disciples weren't quite sure who he was, and the Jews didn't want to confess him to be the Messiah. But the demons see him, and they know right away, what are you doing, Jesus, Son of God? And then they acknowledge his power and say, are you come here to destroy us before the time? They know their end. And they know that Standing before them is the one who has authority over their end. And so we have this peculiar situation in which far away there's a herd of many, many pigs feeding on the hillside. And the demons, knowing full well that Jesus is going to cast them out, ask permission to go to the demon, to the pigs. And Jesus, it's beautiful in St. Matthew's Gospel, he says, go. One word, go. And so they go out, they infest the herd of pigs, and all the pigs run down to sea and are choked in the waters, drowned. And it's this that I want to talk about today. I mean, this passage is full, and we could talk about a lot of things. And in fact, it's appointed to be read from St. Matthew's Gospel here, but also later on from St. Luke's Gospel. So this same miracle is recounted twice in the churches here, which means that it's a fairly important thing for us to look at, right? But today I want to simply look at this idea. Whenever the demons are confronted by Jesus, they ask permission, and he gives permission. This is a very important principle for us to understand. And that is, the principle is that even the demonic powers act by the permission of God. We see the same thing in the book of Job, where it's recounted how Satan comes before God. And God praises his servant Job, and Satan says, well, yes, but if you took away all his possessions, then he wouldn't praise you. And God actually gives him permission to afflict Job several times for the sake of proving the faithfulness of Job, showing Job to be faithful even after he has been stripped of his wealth and of his fame and his authority, and he's been stripped of his family and he's been stripped of his health. Even after all of that, Job's response is one of faith. Naked came I forth from my mother's womb, and naked will I return to the earth. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But we see in that passage how even Satan comes and begs permission from God to act. And we see the same thing happening here. The demons ask Jesus for permission. They don't act with their own authority. They don't tell him what they're going to do. They say, are you here to destroy us? If not, let us go do that. And he says, go. He gives them permission. This is a crucial principle for us to understand, because we have to understand that the demons are powerless without the permission of God. God is the one who is all-powerful. Even the demonic powers have to obey him. But that presents to us certain difficulties. Because if the demons act by the permission of God, why does he keep giving them permission? God, make them stop, right? That's our prayer all the time. Isn't it? God, make them stop. Whatever bad thing is happening to me right now, God, make it stop. That's not the prayer of Job. Job said, naked came I forth from my mother's womb. Naked will I return to the earth. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is a prayer of faith. The reason, if you want to know it, the reason why God continues to permit the demons to act is so that you and I will be strengthened, so that you and I will become mature, so that we will become grown up in a spiritual sense, able to discern good and evil, able to choose the good and to shun evil. And if we look into our hearts, the fact of the matter is we have to acknowledge that we don't do that. It's not only that sometimes we choose evil over good, sometimes we don't even see clearly enough to discern which one is which. And so we find ourselves stumbling into sins, stumbling into difficulties that we create for ourselves, offending God, offending our brothers and sisters, offending our family members, either willingly or unwillingly, because we're like children. And if you will, the fact that the demons act by the permission of God is part of the gospel. Because what it means is that God has seen us as we are, and he says, they can be better. he saw, forgive the analogy, but I like it, he saw caterpillars, and he says they can be butterflies. Things which are ugly can be made beautiful. These men are born of the earth, but they can be companions of the angels. And therefore I will afflict them. I will allow the demonic powers to try them, test them, so that they will become strong, so that they will transform, so that they can become better than they are, and so that they become the kind of people that can inherit and live in the kingdom of heaven. You understand, this is God's purpose for us. So often we think, you know, what's God's purpose for me? And we mean by that something like, you know, should I take this job or that job? Or should I buy this house or should I stay here? Or should I buy this car or that car? What's God's will, right? I'm sorry to burst your bubble. God doesn't care. He doesn't care what job you work at. He doesn't care what car you buy or what house you live in, right? He'll provide you with the necessities. But his overriding concern in everything is that you be transformed and made an inheritor of the kingdom of God, to live for all eternity among the angels, praising the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And if it takes the affliction of the demonic powers to bring that about, then God will do it. And he does do it. And we should understand that is what's going on, so that we don't go to Father Ambrose and say, Father, I have this really hard situation, help me fix it. Because you know what I'm going to tell you? You can't fix it. You have to suffer. You have to patiently endure. You have to not lose your hope in God even when everything else is falling apart. You have to learn how to pray the prayer of Job. And when you've learned how to pray that, then understand that you have become a companion of the angels. But until you have come to that point, God will continue to allow these things to happen. Because I tell you, it is the only way. Is the only way for faithful men and women to inherit the kingdom of God. May God bless each and every one of you in all ways that he sees fit, and give you the strength and the courage to patiently endure whatever trials afflict you in this life, that you and I may see one another in the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Amen.